man at last, the seventh, Babe Dalton. Woody Wallace, the red throw, is way on the outside. Ball one. One and two. Few expected that Babe Dalton lead the offense of the Yankees, but that's all he's doing. Swings and misses for strike three, and Wallace finally caught up with him in the afternoon. That's the first time he's gone out. That's the third straight strikeout victim for Bucky Wallace, by the by. That is his fifth strikeout. And Pearson comes up to hit for himself. Let's listen to the applause. Here is Pearson, a right-handed batter, taking his position. Now Pearson slides toward left. Marty takes a fastball over, but under the knees low. Ball one. One up and one down. Dalton stopped for the first time today. Wallace works. Fastball swung on. There's a high pop-up back into short left field. Myers retreats from shortstop. He's under everybody out of the way, and Bill makes the catch high above his head. It's off Pearson, and it's two up and two down. Pass to the seventh. There's Frankie Crosetti. Flash out there on the left side of the infield. Around toward left slightly. Infield up a step because of Crosetti's speed. The outfield back. The little man can poke one if he gets a hold of it. Wallace pitches. Misses inside. Waist high. Ball one. Billy Werber running in suspicious of a bunt. Until someone pulled a string attached to the front of his uniform blouse. Wallace wasting no time. Comes back. Fastball over but low. Ball two. Crosetti's a hit 2-0. And Lee looks down now to Art Fletcher back at third to see if there's a sign on whether he'll take this pitch. It's good. And the right-hander throws. It's in there, swung on and fouled down into the dirt. Good one. 4-0. Favor the Yankees. Yesterday, we had several wires wanting to know how in the world and you and Bob Elson up so high and back home plate at the mutual booth to see whether these pitches are high or low. Wallace throws. Misses on the outside for ball three. Well, I think Bob and I both agree that it's rather easy. You can see what's on the pitch, but you have to take from the catcher, the batter, and the umpire by their motions how high or low it is. There's a high pop-up to the left side. Myers goes again back in short left field, waiting under it now, and takes it. And it's nothing across to the Yankees for the second straight inning. Wallace seems to be warming to his test. At the end of seven innings, it is of the world champion Yankees. Fourth run, not a hit. And
man, if you think shaving is good, let Blue Blades. Learn for yourself how quick, easy,
Mutual Broadcasting, CN, the voice of the people, Chicago.
Throwing their run against the Yankees. Strike two of Cincinnati's total output. Two of Cincinnati's total output. Left center, but Seltzer hands now. Beginning terms of a magnificent stance, ladies and gentlemen. Well, should I say it? And then the next will be on. Takes 4-0 favor the Yankees. To get going, to break into Pearson first, then come from behind. They have 4 runs trailing. They are thinking of a ball game. And he swings, there's a base hit. That's a Pearson fan, a new Yankee fan. We didn't say anything about it. And now, there's never been a no-hitter in the World Series. The best pitching performance in the World Series was by Ed Rubach of the Chicago Cubs way back, I believe, in 1906, when he delivered a one-hitter. And Lombardi comes out of the ball game, giving way for a pitch runner. A pitch runner. And it is Stan Bordegray at first base. And the first inning grabs on the crowd. Bordegray leading off first, one out. Now, as far as Pearson is concerned, there's no. He's concentrating on winning a ball. It's a low curve into the dirt. The dickey goes down. It's 1-1. First base. Running for Lombardi. Logan holds the coming on foul right back off Bill Dickey's mask. Bill shakes his head for groggily. Russell, left in the Yankee bullpen. And is flipping a few. Effie. The Reds, Bordegray, getting down off first. Powell down for second. Bordegray running. For third, Bordegray running. For Jerry, this one. He's been the major leagues a long time. He's been the major leagues a long time. He was the Dodgers, and from there to the Reds. Bordegray leading off first. Berger takes high. Ball one. 1-0. Pearson working easily. The Yankee bullpen, Russell, left-hander, Murphy, right-hander, they're both turning on the heat. Pearson throws. Fastball through but low. It's now 2-0. 2-0. Reds still
still fighting. Up there swinging. Red leg players all standing in front of their dugout. None of them sitting back. All on their toes. All on edge. Pearson in position. Throws. Berger swings. There's a slow roller toward the mound. Pearson off. Picks it up. Throws to first. And Berger's out before he's more than two-thirds of the way down. Pitcher to first. No runs. One hit. Cincinnati's only one. So far in the ball game, one man left, top of the eighth inning. And that ends the first half of the eighth inning.
To every man listening in, here's a sporting proposition. Without risking a cent, try the new Gillette Tech Razor and see for yourself how quick and easy shaving can be. Ask your dealer for the Gillette Tech and five genuine Gillette Blue Blades for only 49 cents. And then enjoy inning after inning of real shaving comfort. If you don't agree that today's Gillette Blue Blade and the Gillette Tech Razor make the easiest shaving combination that money can buy, your dealer will refund every cent. Men, you can't help but win on a proposition like this. And remember, it costs less than a penny a day to get perfect shaves with the world-famous Gillette Blue Blades. Now here's Red Barber.
Ray Lombardi gave way for a pinch runner after he got the game's only single, and it was clean. It was definitely a clean hit. Water Gray ran for him, but never got off first. And now Willard Hershberger, former Yankee farmhand, comes in to catch. So it's little Willard Hershberger catches. First up for the Yankees, Red Roth, left-hand hitter. Right-hander Bucky Wallace throws. Roth takes high. 4-1. Little Hershberger having to reach. Up above his left shoulder. High outside. 4-0 in favor of the Yankees. Outfield slightly toward right. Wallace pitches. On the outside again, waist high for ball two. Bucky wipes at the perspiration. Miss Morris. Billy Werber, Roth up there, threat to push one down on the inside grass by third. The 2-0 pitch is over for call strike one just above the knees. Roth was taken. After Roth will come Keller, then DiMaggio. Wallace pitches, Roth swing, there's a high foul back of third over pretty close to the stands. Werber's going over against the stands, now leans in and he can't quite get it. It's two rows of seats back. One row, he might have stabbed. It's just a strike, now 2-2. Hershey, one of the genuine twitching tillers of baseball, never still, always antsy, moving around. Pumps the sign, Rob stands there, swinging that shillelagh back and forth. Here's Wallace over his head and down. Low inside for ball three. At the knees, Rob having to suddenly get stiff-legged and pull himself back. 3-2. Step. Werber's not back. Two strikes on Roth. The pitch is swung on. There's a high fly out into left center. There's Kraft loping in under it. Takes it. One up, one down for the Yankees. Last of the eighth. Bucky Walters, ever since Keller's sharp signal in the fifth inning with one out. He tied everybody in order. Got the Maggio followed to crack into a double play. But that pitching started after the Yankees picked up three runs in the third and one in the fourth. The one in the fourth was Dalton's home run. Here's Keller up again. Left-hand hitter swings. There's a long drive way out in the center. Kraft is on his mule. He's got to ride him fast and pulls it down in deep center field around 435 to 440 feet away. It's only 461 feet straight out to where that ball was hit. Tremendous blast, but with plenty of pasturage out there, Harry Kraft went back and got it. Now it's two up and two down. Last of the eighth. Batter is Joe DiMaggio. Has 1-4-3. Right-hand hitter, defense toward left. Wallace pitches a curve on the outside. Ball one. 4-0. Favor the Yankees. Reds have been held to one hit in eight full innings. Pearson went 7 1/3 perfect innings before giving up a hit. DiMaggio takes a curve low outside. Ball two. Wallace behind 2-0. Now has to come in. DiMaggio gets a hold of that stick. Swings as a slow roller toward the left side. Myers charges it, picks it up, throws off balance to first in time. And that's all for DiMaggio. Took that first base short to first. There is nothing across as Wallace now has started setting the Yankees down just as easily as you'll find your Gillette Tech Razor and Gillette Bluebeard. He sets down those whiskers. So at the end of eight full innings, it is 4 runs, 9 hits, and no errors for the Yankees. No runs, 1 hit, and no errors for the Reds. Start the ninth inning, Billy Myers first up. Then will come Bucky Wallace,
business. McKechnie wants to use a pinch hitter. Followed by the top of the order, Bill Werber. What we shall see from our vantage point here in the Mutual Broadcasting Systems booth at Yankee Stadium, we'll see. At the moment, what we're seeing is Monty Pearson, who has pitched magnificently. Magnificently. No matter what your feelings are in baseball, you can only applaud a competitor who's been as efficient as Pearson. He's been cold-bloodedly efficient. Nothing spectacular, just like an almost inhuman machine. Now, Pearson, the right-hander, is ready. Dickey goes down and is crouched back to the plate. The Yankee infield of Darvin, the offensive star of the series so far, Gordon at second, Grisetti at short, and Roth at third is straight away. Billy Myers in the crouch, 0-2. Takes the first pitch for a strike. Fastball poured right through there. Lee Campbell swinging a couple of wall clubs on deck. Utility outfield left-hand hitter, finally up there to bat for Wallace. Pearson goes down overhand, high outside curve, 1-1. The outfield is Selkirk in left, seems to be poised to go over toward the line. DiMaggio is in left center at the moment, seems to be coming the same way, Keller in right. Myers takes a curve that just missed outside, ball two. Billy started to go in on that, this is I think I'll take it. 2-1, first man up in the ninth. Anything can happen in baseball, World Series or otherwise, and let's see. The pitch is swung on, hit right back to Pearson, and what's going to happen now is an out. Pitcher to first is there it is. Pearson to Dahlgren. Lee Campbell is definitely to hit for Bucky Waters. One up, one down. Myers thrown out. Pearson to Dahlgren. Pitcher to first. Lee Campbell making his first appearance now in any World Series.
Campbell.
Left hand hitter, tall swimmer, takes a strike. Pearson coming right through the ends. Bucky Walters is through. Lee Campbell has been hitting for it. Pearson throws. Campbell swinging, fouls it straight back. Strike two. Lee backs out of there. Up to pinch hit. Quickly had two strikes gotten on him. One out. Swinging stretch, right hands it through there, swung on and fouled, back to first base on the ground. Jim Wilson goes over, picks it up. Meanwhile, a new ball's put in place, so Jimmy throws this one out. Weber on deck to hit next. 4-0. Favor the Yankees. Campbell pitch hitting. No balls, two strikes. Pearson throws. Just misses on the outside with a curve. Ball one. Step wide at third base. The outfield is straight away on Gamble. They don't play him to pull. Pearson delivers. Gamble swinging, fouls it out past left field. 1-2. Pearson's ready. Gamble alertly crouched. Here's the throw. Swung on and missed for strike three. And that is the eighth strikeout for Marty Pearson this afternoon. And now, two are up and two are down. Stepping up is Billy Werber. Pearson, so far, in 8 2/3 innings, has allowed two men to get on. A walk to Werber in the fourth, and that was erased on a double play. And then Lombardi's sharp single into center field in the eighth. The only hit for the National League is today. Pearson pitches to Werber, who swings, hits it sharply through the left side for a second base hit. A sharp single into left field, bounded through the hall between third and short. Wherever that's his first base hit in the Classic, that is the second off Pearson. And with just one out left to them, the Reds are still swinging. A sharp single by Werber to left field. That is hit number two off Pearson. Hit number 11 in the ballgame. And here is the red leg wire of number 11, Linus Pryor stepping in, looking for his first hit in the Classic. He's gone over set. Up to your toward right. Right in there. Strike. Nothing in one. Werber caught. Werber caught. Leave on anything. Two out, ready for Dahlgren, is only holding him halfway option. Delivers outside, or one. 1-1. 4-0 in favor of the Yankees. Pearson trying to finish with as much style as he possibly can. Big jug. And that big jug. One man fouled in 1-2. Four. And set the spikes underneath his right shoe and pitches plate. Back over his left shoulder at first, knocking him down out of his stretch, pauses. Throws, fly swings, hits it down to deep short. Grisetti's up there, throws over to Gordon. Gordon steps on second for the out of the ball game. Force play at second base. Grisetti to Gordon. Score prize, force out, and for the Reds on the top of the ninth inning, no runs, one hit, and
this series, and they are fourth straight since the beginning of this series of last year. The Yankees, four runs, nine hits, and an errorless defense. The Reds, not a run, two hits, and no errors. And we've just been looking back through the record book. And on quick notice, we find that Pearson this afternoon has equaled Ruvak's two-hitter of 19-6 against the White Sox. And I believe that is the low hit pitching for the World Series in the modern times. A two-hitter. It's a two-hit shutout for Monty Pearson this afternoon, who really had it. For the Reds, Bucky Walters bore down courageously, credibly enough, but he ran into grief in the third inning. Of course, one run was already for a ball skidding out of Wally Burger's confirmed. It isn't the old red hit confirmed. It isn't the old red hit confirmed to be talking about just a moment and getting ready to come on and settle down for a chat. So once again, the totals for the winning Yankees, their second straight, four runs, nine hits, and no errors. And for the Reds, no runs, just two hits and no errors. Bob, you just come right in now, my boy, and everybody's waiting.
All right, Red, thanks. Fine, that was a swell job. You know, friend, Saturday at 1:15 Eastern Standard Time, we'll greet you from Crosley Field in Cincinnati with another play-by-play account of this great World Series battle between the New York Yankees and the Cincinnati Reds. Grantland Rice, Veteran Sports Authority, will be on hand to give you a vivid word picture of how the Queen City of the Middle West welcomes its returning warriors for the first game of the series back on their own home grounds. Red Barber and I will be back to give you a rapid-fire running story of what happens out there in the diamond. Yourself a good turn. Step over to your dealers and buy one of those easy-shaving Gillette Tech razors. Spelled T-E-C-H, Tech. And five Gillette Blue Blades. Well, it's going to be my job today to sum up. I think as Red has already given you sort of an idea, it can almost be summed up in one word, and that's Pearson. We might throw in two extra words, put Yankees in for one and Babe Goldwyn in for the other. You have a pretty good picture of just what's happened in this ballgame out here today. Joe McCarthy, instead of having his veteran left-hander, Lefty Gomez, to shoot in there in that second game, as Fred and I have seen for the last four or five World Series that we've worked, comes through with a right-hander today, Monty Pearson. As you know, Pearson, or Gomez, has been ailing for a while, who's had previous World Series experience. He pitched in 38, 37, and 36, made one appearance in each series, and won a game in each case. And now he's done the same thing here. So Pearson's record now is four World Series, one game in each series, and a victory in each game. And I think that you'll agree that that's a mighty, mighty fine record. Against him, we found the star-touted Bucky Walters, who's had a marvelous record all season long for the Cincinnati Reds, with 27 victories and 11 defeats. Bucky pitched, you'll have to admit, pitched pretty good ball out here today. He did run into only one real bad inning. That was the third inning when the New York Yankees bunched five hits. Let's just take a look over this for the benefit of those of you who might have tuned in late in the ballgame and just point out the hits that were made in the ballgame and where the scoring occurred. For the Yankees, in the first inning, there was one hit. That was made by Crescetti. There was no trouble on it. There was a single by Crescetti. Then there was a force out, another force out, and a fly ball to the outfield. In the second inning, after one out, after Bill Dickey had struck out, Selkirk singled. There was no further harm in the inning because Gordon went out right after that, and there was a double play. No runs and one hit. In the third inning, Babe Dolbin's with a man on the fall down, couldn't make a play at the plate, and what proved to be the followed by a hit by DiMaggio and a hit by inning were three runs inning after the first made the first home run of the series. Against that, they hit that ball off, but it was a real long drive. As it went back into about the fielder, ball leaped up into the eighth or ninth row, I believe it was from the plate. From the play of the Yankees next inning, one up in two inning. Catch up, Billy Myers. So. One walk in the ballgame, and that walk was issued by Pearson to Werber in the fourth inning for the only walk of the game. All in all, it was a fairly exciting ballgame to watch. Didn't you think so, Red? Even though the scoring was all one-sided here today, the Reds have been close enough in each one of these games, so the thing could have gone either way, didn't you think?
Well, Bob, it was a great ball game because baseball always gives you the double-edged opportunity to either see a great contest or else, as was the case of Pearson this afternoon, to else see a great performer in action hanging up something that was was good enough to go into the record books as an all-time tie. And, of course, yesterday's ball game was just a full meal for the second guesses. You remember the buzzing around all last night, right?
I should say so. Red, now we're going to Crosley Field in Cincinnati, and there is a definite, I think, don't you, the home team does have a definite edge, don't you think so? I rather think that the Reds, getting back home in those familiar surroundings, will have a little bit of an edge back there in their own ballpark, and I really look for them to cut up quite some capers back there in Crosley Field.
Well, definitely I expect that, Bob, and as far as being at home, naturally you feel more at home. You have your own fans with you, and of course you know how true it is in football that the home club is always a lot tougher than if it were on the road. And of course, the one big advantage is that pitchers who are used to working in a ballpark know how to pitch to try and take advantage of the area of the ballpark, because all parks vary. And certainly the outfielders are playing at home. And in Cincinnati, you have a terrace growing up around most of the outfield fences, and the outfielders used to playing 77 games a year there know how to get up on that terrace. They also know, without even looking, just how close they can come to the wall. In the case of Goodman yesterday, when he was going after Keller's triple in the ninth inning, he didn't know exactly how close he was to the concrete wall out there in right center, and he had to steal a quick second sneak, and for all we know, that may have cost him absolutely catching the ball.
Red, what do you think about the pitchers for Cincinnati? I think it'll be Junior Thompson, Lefty Gomez. What do you think?
Well, Bob, that would probably seem to be, during the last two innings, sneaking in the Yankee bullpen and getting a little work, which may be a tip-off as to what Joe McCarthy is going to do, was no less a person than Vernon Gomez himself, who was limbering up out there. Certainly he wasn't limbering up to come in this ballgame this afternoon. And as far as Thompson is concerned, McKechnie announced before they started the series that he was his number three pitcher. Of course, behind 2-0, you don't know what McKechnie Scott will have to come up with, whether he'll try and come back with Derringer or whether he will try and stake it on Thompson. Anyhow, there is one thing I would like to say, and that is the reactions of Goodman and Derringer before the ball game this afternoon. Goodman, when asked about that catch, says, "Well, I should have caught it. I got no excuses to make, no explanations, no alibis." And when we asked Derringer how he felt about yesterday's ball game, he said, "Well, I wouldn't take back a single pitch." He said, "As far as I was concerned, I gave the best I had, pitch by pitch, and I wouldn't take back a single one." Spoken like a couple of ball players, and Bob, I'm like you. I'm looking forward to seeing the floodgates open there on the banks of the Ohio starting day after tomorrow at Cincinnati.
I should say so. Well, Red, don't miss that train tonight, and I'm sure we're going to see some grand games there in Cincinnati. Fans, regardless of where you've listened to this ball game, the Corsair Network, the Mutual Network, has arranged for the broadcast of these World Series game a network of international scope. So I don't know where you might happen to be listening to this ball game, but wherever you happen to be listening to it, we do hope that this broadcast, as Red and I have told you about it today, has given you a very, very enjoyable afternoon. This is the largest network of a World Series game in World Series history. So wherever you happen to have caught this game this afternoon, we do hope that you've enjoyed it, and we hope that you'll be with us for the broadcast of the next game, which will be on Saturday. Remember, the third game of the 1939 World Series will be brought to you from Crosley Field in Cincinnati by Gillette, Saturday afternoon at 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, over the station to which you are now listening. Tonight, Red Barber and I leave on the baseball special without our good friend Stan Lomax, by the way, whose broadcasting commitments will keep him here in New York City. Just a closing summary for the day again. The Yankees, 4 runs, 9 hits, and no errors. The Cincinnati Reds, no runs, 2 hits, and no errors. The winning pitcher, Pearson, and the losing pitcher, Bucky Walters. Now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye, hoping you've enjoyed the broadcast, and leaving with you men as my parting thought for the day. Remember, the Gillette Tech Razor with the Gillette Blue Blade for the finest shave that you ever enjoyed. Goodbye, all. We now return you to our New York studios.